Hallelujah. Now we're only getting started. But, you know, today's sermon is one of the easier ones that I had to do because it's just me. And maybe most of you don't even know me, but tonight you will know a little bit more about me and just why Deval is the way that he is. The title of my sermon is just Life's a Journey. And that's what God has laid on my heart and just come and changed in the last while. Just to be in His kingdom, you know, being ready for the cause. And just to know that you are not in an Aerosmith song. You want to come and sing it for us, Yvonne? He helped me to search for the lyrics. When I sang the song, nobody knew it in the office. I was just, yeah, that's Kerkmense. Anyway, but it's amazing from Aerosmith. And then the one part they sing there, and I can't sing as high as my boy can, but life's a journey, not a destination. Okay, so thank you. So life is a journey, it's not a destination. If you think you are here in this place to stay here, then you are wrong. If you think that you are here just to be nice and pretty, then you are wrong. You are here to be equipped to do the work of the ministry. Because many times we've got this fuzzy thinking that says, you know, the pastors and those people, they must do the work of the ministry. No, the Bible says that we train the saints, which you guys are, to do the work of the ministry. So anyway, starters, and I will try to make this brief because I know that my family back there, they didn't bring their tubies. So I'll do it quick for their sake. But if I go long, you know, I'm sorry. First thing is, where is your foundation laid? Now, like Danelle told you guys, you know, the first time I gave my life to the Lord was in Standard 4. I was 12 years old. And, you know, it was the first time that I just experienced that I needed to give my life to the Lord. But what happened after that was, when I was in Standard 8, something happened, and most of you know, if you've been to my, been to the session in Foundations 2, you know, when God, or not Foundations 2, in baptism, when I teach at Bible school, I just share that when you go through something in your life that you have got no control over, and it feels like your whole life is going to fall apart, it's called the baptism of fire. And, you know, I've been through one of those, and a couple since, but that one was the first time that I've really experienced it. And, you know, it was in Standard 8, my mom, she got stuff, you know, inside a baarmoeder. What do you call that? Boom! There we go. And, you know, it needed to be removed, and they did that, and she went in for an operation. But, you know about Jesus, and you know about God, and all of those things. But what happened then is, or to me then was, for the first time in my life, I started experiencing God speaking to me. So, my mom went in for this operation, but as we went and we dropped her off at the hospital, now I get this thought, comes in my head, and it says, Deval, look at your mother, for it might be the last time that you are going to see her walking like that. Now, how random can you get? So that was the thought that came into my head, and I thought, okay, fine, I'll just look at her then. And I looked at her until I couldn't see her anymore. And she got the operation, and, you know, when she came out of the operation, we went and we saw her once. And what I did was, I just stood there by her bed holding her hand. That's all I did. Didn't speak much. I was just there holding her hand. And, you know, we went back, and the next day, my dad, he went to her. We were staying at home watching some rugby. And, He phoned in the middle of the game, and he started speaking to me. He said, "Deval, there's been complications with mom, and I'm on my way back to the hospital," but he was lying. He was already on his way back home. And he said a couple of things, and I was, you know, pondering this thing in my head, but then the last thing that he said, it just floored me. He just said, in Afrikaans, he said, "Jy moet sterk wees, seun. You must be strong, my boy." And that just shook my world completely. And my sister back there, we were fighting like cats and dogs back then, like physically fighting. And she always beat me up because she's a lefty. So I missed that one most of the times, coming from the left-hand side. But anyway, so I took her by there and I said, "Listen, we must go and pray now." And as we went into the room, you know, we just started praying. We said, "Lord, you know, you can't take our mother away, just, you know," and all of those things we prayed. And then my dad got back home, opened the gates of the house, and we were all running outside. And as we came outside, he just dropped to his knees and he said, "Ons is alleen. We are alone." You know, and that's just where this first thing comes from. Where is your foundation laid? Because it is in a moment like that where you definitely, without question, know that the things that you build your life on, that you thought was something worthwhile, it dissolves into absolutely nothing. In the air. Things like your friends, money, intellect, playing for the first team of the rugby, of the school. You know, silly things like that that we build our lives upon and put it as, you know, my safety, my security. But anyway, God just came and he shook my life there. And obviously, you've got a choice, always. But God is faithful. And, you know, as I was sitting on my bed that night, I sat there and I knew God a little bit. But I knew I don't have the answers. And I just sat there and I didn't do this whole spiritual thing, you know. I just sat there and I just said, "God, help me. I don't have the answers." And it was the first time in my life where I really experienced scripture in a way that I can just tell you guys now. Philippians 4 verse 7, it says there, "And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." In the most hectic time of my whole life, I experienced that. Jesus came that night, stood next to my bed, and I knew Jesus was here with me now. And I had the most joy, even in that sad circumstances, because I knew my God. And the peace that surpassed all understanding guarded my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. So that's the first thing that I just want to challenge you guys with today. Where is your foundation laid? Are you a nice spiritual person? A nice religious person that comes to church and does stuff for God? Let me tell you, you cannot do anything for God to win his favor. But the religious spirit wants us to believe that we need to do stuff to please God. And even if you've walked a while with God, you know, I've come to that place many times where now I see I'm doing a lot of stuff, but I'm not being with God anymore. Because you want to please God by the things that you do. You can never do that. So, breathe a sigh of relief. Hallelujah. I cannot do anything. The only thing that you can do is you can come to Jesus. God says, if you come near to me, I will draw near to you. That's his word. So you just need to come to him. That's all. No matter how your life is falling apart. The second thing I want to leave with you guys tonight is asking. You know, a little while later when I was in Stellenbosch, starting there, I had a couple of questions for God, you know. Because there was things in his word that I'm reading that I couldn't understand. You know, things like baptism and Holy Spirit and gifts and tongues and miracles and those stuff. I'm seeing it here, God, but I'm not seeing it in my life. But the great thing about Matthew 7, verse 7, it says there, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now, what happened to me back then was, with all of these questions in my head, I went to God and I said to him, listen, Lord, these are the things that I want to know. And, you know, it was in Jeffreys Bay. We were there on holiday. And I was sitting there on the top of the hill by myself. And I just asked God these questions. And I left it with him. Got back from my holiday. And then the first, you know, social event or whatever was one of my friends' birthdays. And she came to me and we had this nice pancake evening, which my wife can do now. And at this pancake evening, she just said, listen, Deval, I want to tell you something. I said, okay, it's fine. Afterwards, I went to her and she just said, you know, I've got this thing. It's like a weight around my shoulders. I need to tell you that I just feel God says that all the questions that you've got, he will answer them for you in the Foundation series. So I'm just thinking again, woman, who have you been talking to? But if you ask God for stuff, he will answer you in a way that you can understand. He knows you. When he speaks to me, he can speak to me through a rubber duck race. I don't know if you know that story, but those of you that do know it, sorry for telling you again, but those are people that don't know it. You know, when I was in a place where I needed to just be affirmed by God, and all of us need that. You need to be affirmed in who you are before God. You know, Jesus needed to have that. When Jesus got baptized, God opened the heavens. He said, this is my boy. I'm well pleased in him. Listen to him. And all of us need something along those lines with God. And I asked God again. I said, God, you know, I don't understand the sonship thing. You know, I need you to come and tell me I'm a son. Your son. And, you know, God understands me. And I was back home there at my parents' home. Up in Virginia, sitting there watching the Transagulas rubber duck race. Now, who believes that God can speak you in the Transagulas rubber duck race? I believe. So what happened was this guy comes out there and he's charging out with his boat. And as he's ramping, you know, over this big wave, and his boat's in the air like that, there's this perfect picture and stuff. You know, there's his dad, obviously, but standing on the beach, near the camera. And he shouts, Moisian! And it's as if God opens the heart doors of mine. And he shouts that into my heart. Moisian! And now I know that God is well pleased with me. So I can be Deval. I don't need to be anybody else. I will be a fake if I am anybody else than Deval. Because my daddy is pleased with me. Now, going on to number 3. Then we get to a place, you know, where stupid stubbornness sometimes gets hold of us. And, you know, God has given us a free will, meaning you can choose whatever you want. Many times we use it, I don't know who said it, but can a Christian have demons? Well, a Christian can have whatever he wants. So, when you choose to have something, or you are persistently going on with a thing, and God will give it to you because you choose it. But one, we are free to choose life or death. And what happened was, after all of these things that happened, you know, I really experienced some great things with God when I was just following him. Things like, you know, just sharing my testimony there in Jeffreys Bay in a church. And, you know, as we finished, after I shared my testimony, a lady comes to me and she says, listen, can you just help my niece or whatever? She's into Satanism and I want you to speak to her. I didn't have any clue, okay? about the whole stuff. Anyway, so we drive from that place to another place. It's like a town, Ashton. I don't know if you guys know it, but just next to Jeffreys Bay. And as we drive there, there was another girl who was a Christian who went with me. Because God says that no temptation that is too big for you to withstand will overcome your path. And with that temptation, he will always give you the way out. Okay? So this is not a temptation for me, but it was, you know, I was way out of my depth. But this lady that went with me, well, she did counseling and that stuff. So, hallelujah. I'm okay. But what happened was, we were driving in three separate cars. First car was the Satanist lady. Second car was this Christian lady. And then I was at the back. And then we were going, according to me, to the Christian lady's home. And as we were driving, we got to a stop street. And then Satanist lady goes straight. Christian lady goes left. And the ball has nowhere to go. So I thought, okay, I'll go to the Christian lady's place. So I go there, and I see where her house is. And I say, okay, listen, I need to go and look for this lady now, the other one. And, you know, as I drive there, I'm just saying, Lord, where are they? Or she, where is she? And the thoughts comes into my head. It says, Deval, you drive back to the stop street, you turn left. You drive straight till you get to the place where there's the coffee shop thingy or whatever. It's like a 7-Eleven thing. There you turn right, and then the first street again right. There on the left-hand side, there you will see the car. Now I'm thinking, I'm going crazy. But it's okay. It's just me knowing about this anyway. So I drive, you know, and I follow the directions. And, you know, as I turn the last corner, there on the left-hand side with the adverts on, there this lady is standing with her car. Anyway, so God wants to speak to us. But he needs a willing heart. We need to ask him for stuff, and we don't need to be stupid and stubborn. Because of all of those things that God has already done in my life, you know, I came to a place where I was just stupid and stubborn, wanting to have a girlfriend. And continuing, knowing that this girlfriend was not the one for me. By that time, you must know, I was now already in Stellenbosch, you know, being a zone leader and all of those nice things. But I was stupid and stubborn continuously. You know, my family, my friends, nobody had peace about this thing, but I just continued on with it because I'm going to show you guys. And then going back to that first thing, if you ask, you know, and God understands you, you can also deceive yourself in that place. You ask God for something. You are looking for a word from God because I promise you, you will find a whole Bible full of words that you can misform into your situation. But I was stupid and silly for a long while. You know, and I was in Stellenbosch there doing the internship because I was going to go into ministry. It's my life purpose. Hallelujah. Being said all this nice stuff. And then, you know, after about a year and a half, 2 years of this, I was so dead inside that I couldn't fake it anymore. I was totally dead, and people could see it. You know, when you walk into a place, it's like, where's Deval? When they look into your eyes, it's just this nothingness. But hallelujah for a wonderful wife. She saw in that face the pastor that she's going to marry. I don't know how she did it, but hallelujah for that. Because I was dead in the water because of my stupid stubbornness. But God is so faithful, you know. He always comes through for you. But there's just one scripture that I want to give you guys. When you are stupid and stubborn or anything, you know, just going off on your own tangent, what happened to me was, Sias came to me, and he said, listen, Deval, obviously, but I didn't want to see it. He said, you know, it doesn't look like the hand of the Lord is on your life anymore. How's that for offense, puppy? But I am going into ministry, man. You said it. But we can be stupid and silly. So now I decided, after I was so offended, and you know, the church this and that and whatever, I'm going to leave all of these people. God just gave me one scripture. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. So I stayed. Because I don't want to rage against all wise judgment, okay? So if you are in that place where you think, listen, I'm just going to do my own thing. And you know, being isolated is not a place where you are going and sitting there in the corner and everybody else is sitting here. You can be isolated sitting right there where you are now. Not willing to share your heart with anybody. Not willing to let anybody in because you're offended. Mad at the world, mad at the people in the church, mad at the pastor. God wants to come and he wants to sort that out. Because, yes, you can be isolated, but the problem with being isolated and building walls around a heart like that is that, yes, you keep out the hurt, but you also keep out the love. And you cannot experience love if you are in a place like that where you isolate yourself. So, second one is, you are free to choose. You are free to choose to get offended or not. Matthew 18 verse 7, Jesus says, for offenses must come. And this is the one thing that God has learned or taught me through that whole experience. In church, you will be offended. Can I say it again? In church, you will be offended. Heavily offended. Because he's a man of God. How can a man of God do things like that? He's a Christian. How can a Christian do things like that? Jesus said, for offenses must come. But the problem is, the way that you deal with those offenses is going to determine how you will grow in God's kingdom. You can choose to take your offense and hold it onto yourself. You know, this is my offense. I'm not going to give it to anybody. It's mine. But the problem with an offense is it binds you. It's like drinking cyanide and expecting the other person to die. That's what offense is. That's what offense does. And if you are offended with anybody, it's like taking this piece of paper, putting it at somebody's back. If I'm offended with Ross, then if I don't sort that thing out, I must keep this offense against him wherever he goes. Even if he walks in that direction, does he know about it? No. Do I know about it? Yes. Because I need to keep it against him. Because if I don't, it's going to fall. I want to fall my offense. Sort out your offenses before you get isolated, before you get hurt, before you get taken out by Satan. Fourth thing. I will finish before 8 o'clock, so don't worry. Do the hard yards. God wants character from you, not charm. We look at people many times. You know, there's a great saying that says, don't judge a book according to its cover. But we do that all the time. When people walk in here, then you say, you know, Gucci this and Gucci that, whatever. So he must be this. He fits into that box over there. And this guy comes in with his rugby tux and his blowball shirt and he must fit into that box over there. But God, from us, wants character. And for those of you going through a hard time, like Ross has just shared in the worship, do those hard yards. Romans 5, verse 3 to 5, we see, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given to us. When you go through the hard times, your mother's death, losing your job, whatever the hard times are in your life. Go through that. Don't stay there. Go through it. Because God wants from you character. Because character, God can trust. Charm, God cannot trust. If you've got a character that he can trust, he knows that you will be faithful with the people that he gives you. Because that is the ultimate goal of every Christian. You will lead somebody to Jesus. So God will entrust people to you. You know, one, two, few, many. Doesn't matter. But he needs you to be of sterling character so that you can just project him to the people clearly. I'm not going to, okay, I'm going to do this anyway. But there's another, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. And I'm just going to say it there, maybe it's going to make sense to you, but the last thing in this scripture here in Romans is hope. But there's a couple of things that happens before that. And if you don't go through your trial, it's kind of like, you know, postponing that hope of yours. And your heart will grow sick. But anyway, I don't want to bend it in like that, so just forget it. Fifth thing. Know that God is the good shepherd. That's the thing that God has just came and challenged me with the last couple of days. No, not days. But in the last while. He says there, Romans 2 verse 4 and Galatians 6 verse 14, it says, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. I'll read the other one just now. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And, you know, it's one of those weird things that you can read up there and says, yeah, the goodness of God sounds like a Zen movie, man. It's the goodness of God that makes us transcend all humanity. When you come in a situation, and I'm going to explain it by way of an example. Maybe you can put it into your situation. A guy was walking next to a river after a flood. And there in one of these little bays that the river makes, there's a piece of log, and on the log is a scorpion. How low. On the log is a scorpion. And this guy is standing there, and he's, you know, he's wanting to take the scorpion off the log. Now, as he takes him, obviously it stings him. And then another guy comes past and he says, listen, dude, are you absolutely off your trolley? That thing's going to sting you. And the guy says, his nature to do harm doesn't change my nature to do good. So it's in a situation in life, in your job, in your family, in your friend circle, where you come and you are faced with that deliberate doing evil and hurting me, that you understand what it means. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Because no matter how many times you will sting God, turn away from him, bat him, he will always reach out his hand to you, because that's who he is. He is a good God who wants you to know him. And even if you do this many times, he will still come to you and will reach out his hand, try and take you off your log. But again, you've got a free will. You can choose not to, obviously. And then the second thing there is, but may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And God has just come, you know, in these past couple of months, change my heart again to a place where I know that I cannot do anything for God, even though I've got gifts, yes. But without Jesus, I'm nothing. Without Jesus, I cannot do a single thing. 6F, where are we now? Galatians 2 verse 6. Be real. Don't Don't be something that you are not. We read there in Galatians 2 verse 6, for those who seem to be something added nothing to me. So if you seem to be something to people around you, you will add nothing to them. Don't seem to be something, you know, before God. Because it's so easy for us to come to God knowing what the Bible says, that we must live a holy life and all of those things. So we've got this picture that if we come to God, we need to look like this. You need to be at least a little bit clean. So you need to stop smoking. You need to stop watching pornography. You need to stop drinking. You need to this and this and this and this and this. Then I will come to God. If that's your perception, you are never going to come to God. Because there will always be something that the accuser of the brethren will accuse you of. So that you will not go to God. Be real with God. God, here I am. I'm a pastor. Was I called a pastor? Okay. I wasn't a pastor yet, but it was at the beginning of last year. I was here with you guys. Hallelujah. And you know, I had this little problem, I thought. Just this little problem with pornography. And it's a little problem because the things that I've done in the past were a lot worse than the things that I'm doing now. So I'm just looking at the back page of the report. That's all. It's not that bad. It's a little one. So it caused a little bit of ructions in my marriage, obviously. And for the first time in my life, I could see physically with my own eyes what I do to God when I do these things. Because it's so easy to come to God and say, Lord, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. Hallelujah, I'm forgiven. And then 3 days later, you are back there in front of your computer doing what you're doing. When you've got a wife and you do things like that, it's not that bad. You know, I just, well, it's this and this and this. She registers. Am I not good enough? Don't you love me? Why do you need to go and look somewhere else? And if you sit there on the bed and she's shaking like this because of what you've done, then you can see what it does to God when you willfully, deliberately continue with your nonsense. But God is good. Hallelujah. Be real in situations like that. I needed to go to counseling with my wife. And I was here in church. Marriage counseling. Yeah. So I was there and speaking to the pastor. And, you know, it's just a little problem of mine. It's not that big. And then he said, you know, what is it? And I told him. And he's like, boom. He just stopped it right there. He said, listen, my boy. You need to be delivered. What? I've known Jesus for how many years? Been in shofar how many years? And been through F4 twice. And now you tell me I need to be delivered. Yes. And then you go for deliverance. And God delivers you from a lying spirit. How's that? I thought it was lust. No. I was just lying to myself the whole way along. Not being real. Be real with God. He knows you anyway. If your heart is all broken up and mush, you can say, God, my heart is all broken up and mush. Don't go and say, God, I love you so much. I praise you. Be real with God. That's what he wants. He didn't come to die for a fake you. He came to die for the real you. Be real with God and with people. Because you are, if you are backstabbing and all of those nonsense. Yeah, I hate that, by the way. Last one. Be a servant. You know, in church, if you sit here, we continuously tell you, and I'm sorry for that, to serve. And that's great. Because if you come from a great traditional South African, white, Afrikaner background, if somebody tells you to do something and you know it's the right thing to do, then you will do it. You will serve. But how much heart will be in that serving? So don't just serve. Be a servant. Let it be who you are. I'm a servant. I don't serve. You know the revelation I've got? Again, you know, it's great to get married. You get a lot of revelations about yourself and about your silly thinking. Because somebody can tell you if you are being doof. My prophet wife, hallelujah, she can tell me. What did I not say? Oh, yes. Hallelujah, the helper. You know, when we got married, I was always doing, as, you know, an act of service to my wife and wanting to bless her, I would do the dishes. So I would serve. And then, you know, after I've done the dishes, I would want this old hoo-ha. I've done the dishes. Hoo-ha. Until God showed me that scripture that he says, present your bodies to me, holy, a living sacrifice unto God, for that is your reasonable service. Okay, so that's toward God. But God just came in and challenged me and said, Deval, when you are a servant, now understand what Jesus said when he said about, you know, if the master comes home after his slave has done all the work and stuff, then the slave first serves him, and then he can tend to his own needs. I was all things thinking, you know, he's been working for you the whole day. Just come there and be a servant yourself. You know, give him something. But no. It's in that place where it's your reasonable service to be a servant. That when your master, Jesus, comes in, you serve him. Because you are a servant. Back to what happened with that revelation of mine. So now, I was thinking, you know, when she does the dishes, that's her reasonable service. She doesn't get a great hoo-ha from me for doing the dishes. So why do I need the great hoo-ha when I do the dishes? Isn't that supposed to be my reasonable service too? So all of a sudden, I'm doing the dishes because it's my reasonable service as a servant to my wife to do. So to God, be a servant because your rewards will be great. You know, we are always going on about leadership and, you know, Ross and I are doing stuff on leadership now with our studies. And I've just read in the one book, you know, it's like in the Bible, I think 7 times in the New Testament that the word leader is used. 7. The word servant is used 900 times in the New Testament. But we have got this whole hoo-ha about leaders. But God wants us to be servants. Because if you're a leader and you serve, you know, you will still be a leader. But your heart will be right before God. And you will be in a place where God can bless you. Because this is what we want to hear at the end of this age. And this is what I'm leaving you guys with tonight. So this is Deval. This is why I am Deval. I want to hear one day, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. And that's that. That's what I want God my Father to say one day when I get into His kingdom. He's not going to tell me, yes, Deval, you've got this and this, you know, nice car, nice house, nice this. No. He's going to say, good and faithful servant. And I'm not there yet. That's why life is a journey. And next time I stand here and I do this, you know, I'll have a whole lot of other revelations that God has shown me and about Him. But this is what I want to leave with you guys tonight. If you don't know Jesus, please come to the front. I want to pray with you. I want to introduce you to the greatest man ever to walk the face of this earth. If you're not a servant, you know, come, let me pray with you. I will give you some jobs to do. So you can practice your servitude. That's just a joke. But God wants us to be real with Him. And don't box Him into your little rules and regulations, please. God does not fit into any box on this earth. So if you think, yes, God has to be like this, then you've boxed Him in and you have made a caricature of God. So you are serving your own God. Serve the God of the Bible. And serve Him with your whole heart. And be willing to go wherever God sends you. Because that is our reasonable service. I love you guys. Thank you for having me here. But I'll be back.